The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was a bold week 13 in the NFL, and it was a terrific weekend of rivalry football in the college ranks. We've got the conference championships that are set for this coming Saturday. You guys get this. It's going to be very strange. I'm going to be by myself with pets this coming weekend because my husband will be out of town. And so our first year married, in fact, we're just a few weeks shy of our 1 year anniversary. He's the huge college football fan, and yet it's going to be feel oddly familiar. There I am on Saturday of conference championship weekend, spending my entire day watching college football by myself. Well, that's going to be weird. Not the way we would have drawn it up, but he's got a trip that he's going to take for a few days in mid-December, though he will be back by our anniversary under threat of, I don't know what, the silent treatment or something. No, I'm not good at that. I over-communicate, not under-communicate. What a surprise. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So glad to have you with us on this edition of the show. Week 13, Sunday night, we run through usually all the games. I know there's a couple of shows where we don't get to everything, but we've even got to incorporate some of the drama from Thanksgiving Day and from Black Friday. Second year in a row, the NFL has done a Black Friday game, and it comes on Amazon Prime this year. You know that Prime paid billions of dollars for the right to partner with the NFL, and they continue to flex their muscles, and I call it urban sprawl for the league. Just spread out more and more. Now it's Christmas. Now it's Black Friday. Now it's Wednesday. It's more Tuesday. Let's add some games on odd days that people are not used to watching the NFL and yet see the results, and the NFL's never going to give that real estate back. Just trust me. It's going to be this way moving forward. I would say more often than not, especially when the year expands, or the season, I should say, expands to 18 games, they're going to be playing on every single bleeping day of the week. That's just how it's going to be from now on. All the holidays, they might start adding games on July 4th. Why not? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. All right, let's dive into Eagles and Ravens, because this, I bet, would have been your choice for game of the week, though probably some competition from Bills and Niners if we had had the chance to put the poll out prior to Thanksgiving. The Eagles riding a 7-game win streak in this one. The Ravens, of course, trying to keep up with the Steelers in the AFC North. And Baltimore jumps out to a 9-0 lead in this one. Early on, Derrick Henry with a chunk play that goes nearly 20 yards. And you can see that both teams want to run the ball in this game. But Lamar Jackson also developing quite a productive connection with Zay Flowers. They want to pass the ball around as well. Mark Andrews has had a tremendous, we'll call it middle portion of the season. Remember the first 5 games of the year, he didn't have a touchdown. But the way that he and Lamar Jackson work together, they need to keep feeding him and finding him because he's a tremendous asset. So you've got Derrick Henry for 19 yards. You've got Zay Flowers, who hauls in a 20-yard ball across the middle of the field heading to the left. And then Lamar fires this high bullet to Mark Andrews for a touchdown in the end zone. Here's the thing that stands out and something that was highlighted on the broadcast. He ran 15 yards backward before he fired that ball. And so he takes the snap at the 14-yard line. By the time Lamar throws that ball to Mark Andrews, who has to elevate and get it amongst three defenders in the end zone, by the time Lamar fires that ball, he's at the 29-yard line. He ran backward 15 yards to be able to escape. I wouldn't call it a pass rush. I would just say whatever pressure there was, the offensive line held up pretty well. But the fact that he ran backwards before he threw that bullet was huge. So a 9-0 lead for these Ravens with their two MVP candidates in the backfield. But the momentum really shifted with this quick drive that sparked the Philly offense. And maybe you wouldn't expect it to be quick, right? Because both teams wanted to control the ball. And early on in the first quarter, the Ravens had done that. They had controlled the ball, controlled the tempo, controlled the clock, all of that stuff, and in essence had controlled the game. But it was a quick drive that sparked the Eagles, and the way that they can also use their weapons, including tight ends. I suppose that first half, it was a game for the tight ends. You could see, as much as the Eagles want to run the ball, same as the Ravens. The Ravens are scoring more points this season, but you're not talking about a one-dimensional offense for Philadelphia either.
First and 10. Ball at the 17. Hurts on first down on the run. Fires complete. Running along the sideline. And is he in for a touchdown? He is. Dallas Goedert, 17 yards. First and goal. Hurts under center. Hurts is pushed. And he's in. Touchdown. He's got it. Touchdown. I didn't know the way they started, Mike, but the official on the far side was decisive.
Couple of things about this game. This was a CBS broadcast, so it was Jim Nance and Tony Romo. And Tony kept highlighting the fact that the Eagles false started on that play, that multiple guys on the offensive line jumped early on what was supposed to be a tush push. As it turned out, this is also something you don't hear with Merrill Reese on that Eagles radio call. Jalen drops the ball, so it's considered a fumble recovery, and then a touchdown, right? So there's all kinds of stuff happening there in the scrum right up on the goal line. Cozied up to the goal line, if you will, but it goes down as yet another one-yard rushing TD for Jalen Hurts. He's got a handful of these, enough to fill an egg carton this season. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence that Jalen TD gives the Eagles a 14-12 lead at the break. Even though Philadelphia was kind of battling themselves there in Baltimore with seven penalty flags in that first half. And then, once again, we come out of the halftime locker room and Baltimore does the same thing that it had done in the first half. It dominates the ball. So you have Ravens own the first quarter. Eagles own the second quarter. Ravens then turn around and own the third quarter again. They kind of stabilize. They get comfortable. I don't think it was the entire quarter, but at one point, CBS flashed up a stat about the third quarter, and the Eagles had something like 5 yards. So maybe they tacked on a few more before the end of the quarter. But again, the Ravens held the ball most of that quarter, and the Eagles got almost nothing in the third quarter. But you know what stands out about it? As much as Baltimore had the football, they didn't have any points. So Baltimore does all this work, and they try to get the ball up and down the field. Now, credit the Eagles' defense. They weren't giving them anything easy. But Baltimore was keeping Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley and Dallas Goedert and A.J. Brown on the sidelines. I mean, that's how you beat a good team with a tremendous quarterback and a great offense. You don't give them the ball. So the Baltimore offense was doing its job and dominating pretty much every way you possibly can, but unable to make any kicks, unable to get into the end zone. I mean, this was a lot of work for a whole lot of nothing to show for it.
Justin Tucker, a 53-yard field goal attempt from the right hash mark for the lead. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is tracking right. It is no good. He pushed it wide right. And for a second time in the third quarter, Justin Tucker misses on a chance to give the Ravens the lead.
The call with Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio. Okay, so here's what you need to know about Justin Tucker. It's definitely mental. It's definitely mental. The dude has not forgotten how to kick. He's not all of a sudden unable to boot a ball 50-something yards. And it's not even like he's doing the same thing over and over again. He misses to the left. The first two kicks he misses in this game against Philadelphia, they hook to the left. This one, he pushes right. It's definitely mental with Justin Tucker. He's got the yips. It's a term that you often hear in golf, but it gets applied to other sports as well. And it's essentially when an athlete is freaked out or panicking about a particular play, right? Whether it's a short putt and you've missed a couple, whether it's a free throw at the end of a game, clutch and late situation, but a particular athlete has missed a bunch of free throws, so they're worried about how they've missed a bunch of free throws. Maybe it's Chuck Knoblauch trying to throw to first base, for those of you who know that reference. He's got the yips. There's nothing wrong with Justin Tucker physically. The dude is fine. And yet, for the first time in his career, he's got three misses. A point after attempt, and these two field goals. This was his third miss of the game. And he was getting loudly booed there at M&T Bank Stadium.
We just didn't really get, couldn't get any rhythm going. We had a couple mishaps, you know, a couple got behind the chains once or twice, and really couldn't get a rhythm at the end of the second half. And then at the end of the first half, in the second half, we really couldn't finish, you know, with points. That was the biggest issue.
It's crushing.
No, just stop. I need to set it up again because it doesn't make any sense. Sorry about that. That was John Harbaugh about the offensive struggles. Again, Justin Tucker, his first time missing three kicks in a game, and you can see it in his body language and on his face. He entered the season as the best percentage kicker in NFL history. He was hitting field goals at a better than 90% success rate. It was like 90.2%. And now, as you can see on his face, he really doesn't, at this point yet, know how to fix it.
It's crushing. But at the end of the day, my feelings don't really matter. What matters is getting back to work and doing everything that I can to help this football team win games down the stretch. We're going to turn over every stone, and you know, I will do that individually for sure. Just to address any and all issues I may have with my technique, anything tangible, anything concrete that I can, you know, make it a point to remedy. And that's what I mean when I say the only thing that I can do is just get back to work. The only thing that we can do is just get back to work and, you know, do the things that we know will help our team win football games.
If you're asking me if we're going to move on from Justin Tucker, I'm not really planning on doing that right now. I don't think that'd be wise. He'll be the first to tell you he needs to make kicks as he can. And I just think if you look at Justin Tucker's history, you'd have to say he's capable of doing that. You know, so, but that's something that he's going to want to do, and I know we're all going to want him to do it.
And that's the point, is that Justin Tucker is still fully capable of making these kicks. And you hear Justin talk about it's crushing. You can see it in his body language. You know, you have to know. They're called swing thoughts in golf. The last few thoughts that you have going through your head, you're supposed to be able to control those, manage those. When your swing thoughts are quiet, it usually means you're in control of your mentals when it comes to the game of golf. Well, that's got to be the same for kickers, because they've got this one job and they've got a routine that they adhere to very strictly. And here is Justin Tucker, who doesn't actually know what's wrong. He's willing to make any change, but he doesn't know what's wrong. I'll go back to golf one more time. I've heard this many times in the past, including from an instructor that I had 20 something years ago when I was learning how to play golf. He said, when your misses are playable, then you know that you're on the road to fixing it. Also, when you know how to correct your mistakes, that means you've taken your golf game to the next level. If you don't know how to correct your mistakes, you're kind of SOL. You're up a creek with no paddle. And here's Justin Tucker, who really does seem befuddled by what's happening. So that's Tucker. That's the Ravens. They shouldn't be leaving it on the foot of their kicker. They did not take advantage of the opportunities that they had in the third quarter. And by going scoreless in that third quarter, despite all the time with the ball, they leave the door wide open for the Eagles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So believe it or not, Philadelphia went more than an hour and 20 minutes without a first down. Like, not game time, but actual time on the clock. An hour and 20 minutes in between first downs. They desperately needed to establish the run. They desperately needed to establish Saquon Barkley. And this was the drive. After that third missed field goal of the game by Justin Tucker, this was the drive where the Eagles were finally able to watch Saquon Barkley break one loose.
Hurts this time to Barkley off the right side. Breaks the tackle. He's at the 15, the 10, the 5. Saquon Barkley, he's broken, 25 yards.
We have, you know, an unbelievable offensive line. I think week in and week out, you guys are able to see that. And especially our tackles, they're able to move and how big they are and able to move at that size. It helps us out a lot. I kind of saw the look, just trusted that he's going to make the block. And I just ran through as fast as I can, pretty much with my eyes closed, and got to the open field. And Jahan and Paris did a really good job of running off the DBs to open up space for me, and we were able to get into it.
Do you really think he did it with his eyes closed? That would be impressive. He hit the hole with your eyes closed. This was a bruising touchdown run. A couple of different Ravens had a hand on him. He ran through a couple of different lines of defense. And so they waited all day for Saquon to break out that long run and to blast through with some power. He does. And then a 5-minute field goal drive gives them a 12-point lead before that Philadelphia defense is able to stuff Derrick Henry. On one particular play, you may have seen Eagles social or even heard it on TV gushing over Cooper DeJean, who is their rookie that they love there in Philadelphia on the defensive side of the ball. He actually had a pile drive on Derrick Henry. Who in the world ever gets to pile drive Derrick Henry? And here's this rookie who doesn't mind going head to head with Derrick and comes up a winner on this one. So yeah, the next possession for the Ravens, failed fourth down attempt, really couldn't get anything going. And it was these four quarters that kind of went back and forth between Philadelphia and Baltimore. Ultimately, the defense cleans up and Saquon has 100 plus yards again for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is now sitting on 1,499 yards rushing with still five games to go. So we're talking nearly 1,500 yards for Saquon. Meanwhile, Derrick Henry is now over 1,400 yards as well. He doesn't get the century mark in this game, but Barkley gushing about his Ravens counterpart.
I got so much respect for Derrick and, you know, the things he's accomplished so far this season in his career. He's going to go down as one of the best backs to ever do it. But, you know, as a competitor, yeah, you want to go out there and play at a high level, but ain't basketball. Ain't like I can go out there and tackle Derrick Henry. And to be honest, I don't know if I really want to tackle Derrick Henry. but most important thing is, you know, team win.
As for the Ravens, as the Eagles win their eighth in a row and move to 10-2, the Ravens fall to 8-5. And that's a big deal because of what the Steelers are doing. And we'll get to them coming up. But they're sitting at 9-3 now. And Ravens haven't had their bye week yet. As you can imagine, they are exhausted. And so they definitely need their bye week. But Lamar says his mom cursed him out for not running the ball more and taking advantage of the opportunities that the Ravens had. Yeah, this was a tough way for them to lose, considering how much time they had with the ball and how many chances.
At the beginning of the game, you know, when we first got out there, I believe we were hitting on all cylinders. And the drive, the fumble snap, mishap, that kind of, I feel like we start messing up right then and there. You know, we got to just stay on task and just play our ball, you know, just play how we play.
2 of 5 in the red zone. And as much as made of Justin Tucker's struggles and the fact that he's missing kicks both left and right, I would say the bigger issue, though the Ravens didn't have as many penalties in this game, the bigger issue is that they're not capitalizing on their opportunities, and they're coming up short because, yeah, they had a 9-0 lead, but then the Eagles come roaring back, and to go scoreless in a full quarter, that's tough. And while the Baltimore Ravens didn't have any lost fumbles, they did fumble the ball 3 times, which also stunts your momentum and stunts your forward progress. They were able to recover them, but you hear Lamar mention that really doesn't help. Usually you take a loss on a play like that. So disjointed, despite a lot of time with ball, not real productive time for the Ravens. But the Eagles, they're at 10-2, and they've won 8 in a row, and now they're proving themselves a little more against teams that have winning records. Remember, the big knock on the Eagles early is they were beating up on teams that weren't contenders. Though the Packers game in Brazil, I know that the Packers lost Jordan Love, but that was late in the game. So they had that victory, and then they were able to beat the Commanders a couple of weeks ago and on the road at the Rams. I think the Rams are sitting at 500 right now, but still do have designs on being a playoff team coming out of the NFC West. So you look at the rest of the Eagles' schedule. It's Panthers, Steelers, Commanders, Cowboys. That's what they have left following their bye. Panthers, not a cream puff anymore. They're giving teams fight, right? They nearly upset the Chiefs a couple of weekends ago, took overtime for them against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they are becoming a tougher out now. So the Eagles, they still have some work to do to win that NFC East. But I do like where they're headed, and I feel like they're growing. We can see them growing and improving and gelling more. The identity is there, and Saquon Barkley, that's in my vote right now for MVP, although Josh Allen is making a tremendous case too. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, coming up, you know, there's so much that we can do. While we're talking about the East, why don't we get to the Washington Commanders, who are coming out of their bye. Was it coming out of their bye? Maybe I shouldn't say that until I'm sure. The Commanders, they had dropped 3 games in a row. That I know for sure. Maybe they weren't. No, they weren't, because they played the Cowboys. Maybe they were. Why can I not remember these things? Yes. No. November 24th. No. They were not coming out of a bye. They played the Cowboys last week. Oh, that's right, because it was craziness. It was the game of Yahtzee that Mike McCarthy was talking about. Okay, so scratch that from the record. But they had lost 3 games in a row. Tough 3 weeks. And you know, playoff hopes kind of in jeopardy after this incredible start that got the fan base so fired up. So we'll talk about their resurgence against the Titans straight ahead. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I mean, you know, it's like Yahtzee.
Second and one, just inside the Tennessee 40. Pistol look for Daniels. Robinson behind him. Tried to hard count Tennessee. Now the snap. Handoff Robinson. His first run. Big hole right up the middle. 35-30. 25-20. They won't catch him. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington. What an opening drive. McNichols to the right of Daniels. Two tight ends off the right side. Here's the snap. Play action. Daniels keeps looking for room to run. Gets away from one. And another. Dives over the goal line. Then Sinnott goes in motion. Play action. Daniels looking, surveying, throws a lob pass into the end zone. Wide open. Terry McLaurin. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington. 3 drives, 3 scores in the first. Robinson to the right of Daniels. 2 wide receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Tennessee's got 6 across the line. A quick throw to Terry McLaurin. Caught it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Washington Commanders needed all of that, roaring out to a 28-0 lead against the Tennessee Titans. Remember, the Titans who had just upset the Texans a week ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The calls there on the Commanders radio network. There's not a whole lot that you need to know in terms of specifics about this game, just that the Commanders took care of their business. The fact that they're back in the win column and they start off with a bang. They're able to make quick work of the Titans in their building. Brian Robinson, he returned in this one and had a 40-yard touchdown scamper. Terry McLaurin with a pair of TD catches from Jaden Daniels in the first half. Jaden himself goes 25 of 30 through the air. So there's the accuracy that people were noticing right off the top with this rookie quarterback. Four touchdowns for him total. The Commanders have nearly 500 yards of offense. And I would say a major statement as they end the losing skid.
Definitely had been for us a challenging 3 weeks. And we talked about the urgency and what we wanted to see and really dedicating the performers to one another. To not have the same urgency that we needed last week, I saw it there in abundance today. The way we started, the energy, the toughness, that was just exactly, you know, what we'd hoped we'd see from the guys, because it's a long stretch when you go 13, you know, or so in a row. And so to see the response today, that was a big deal.
Losing sucks, so losing is never fun. I don't think any competitor will ever think that's fun. So, but you got to be able to go out there and, you know, the talk that we had, be able to sacrifice something for the betterment of the team. And what are we willing to give up? You know, because we got something special in that locker room. So we got to go out there each and every week and prove it.
Jaden Daniels will be a candidate for Monday MVP, along with Josh Allen, who I might have seen branded on social as the King of New York. The Commanders do everything that they absolutely have to do in dominating Tennessee. And I think for confidence sake, for not only ending the losing skid, but ending it demonstratively, they have a 40 minutes time of possession in this one, which is plus 20 over the Titans. They go 5 of 7 in the red zone. So I'm not sure what's more impressive. The fact that they had such a successful rate, or the fact that they were in the red zone 7 times. And then a pair of takeaways as well, as the Commanders now move to 8-5. And you hear Jaden say, losing sucks. So anytime you can get back on track, that's great. Who cares whether or not it's against the Titans? A win is a win is a win is a win. But yeah, as high as Brian Callahan and Tennessee last week, that's how low this week.
Really all the way around, nothing was good enough today. That was tough to watch to start the game. The way it started, you go down 28-0 to a good football team on the road, and they did to us what good football teams do when you do that, and that was disappointing.
So if you're keeping score at home and wondering who right now has the lead for the overall number one pick, there are still teams that have just 2 wins. The New York Giants, officially eliminated from playoff contention. Shocker. The Las Vegas Raiders, also 2 wins, officially eliminated from playoff contention after this weekend and another loss to the Chiefs. And then you've got the Jaguars, who are 2-10. Right now, those are your top 3 teams, or your front runners, I should say, for the overall number one pick. So I don't know all of the tiebreakers, just because who can memorize all of those and keep track of that? But right now, the 2025 draft order has the Jacksonville Jaguars in first place. They've dropped 5 in a row. We'll get to that game coming up. So we'll talk about the Jags and the Texans straight away, because that's also in the AFC South. Raiders are number 2. Giants are number 3. Patriots, officially eliminated from playoff contention, are 4. Carolina is 5. The Jets right now are sitting at number 6. Of course, the quarterback that most teams are keying on, or that many scouts believe could be the number 1 overall pick, is Shedeur Sanders. The Colorado quarterback, he will play in the bowl game for Colorado, play for his dad. You know, there's a chance that his dad could orchestrate a particular outcome in this draft for his son. They may only want to play in a particular place. But Jacksonville, I wouldn't think, is going to draft a quarterback. I think they're going to probably overhaul their coaching staff. I can imagine Doug Peterson keeps his job, considering they've got another lengthy win streak. So if they don't need a QB, Travis Etienne is their running back. They've got receivers. They've got options for Trevor Lawrence around him. if they bypass in a quarterback, which again, I would think that they would do, well, then you're looking at a team maybe that would like to move up, and Jacksonville can package that the way that the Bears did with the Panthers a couple years ago to get Bryce Young. But this is how the tiebreakers stand right now. Jacksonville, Vegas, New York. I guess something. I would hate it if my team was competing for their number one overall pick. Although I guess if you've already moved on from this season, well, then you're trying to think about hope for the future. 855-212-4227 coming up. We'll get to the Jaguars, the game against the Texans in which a melee breaks out in the first half. And honestly, I say for good reason. Not always when you have these fights or extracurricular activities, the skirmishes, the scrumbles. Most of the time when they break out, it's just emotions and tempers running high. Yeah, this one, Jaguars had good reason to start something with the Texans sideline. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
We kick off with Sunday Night Football in snowy Orchard Park.
Takes the snap, quick hitter, thrown behind, but somehow caught, and now lateral to Allen, and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable.
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. The Bills clinched their fifth straight AFC East title as they beat the Niners 35-10. Josh Allen, two touchdown passes and a touchdown run. James Cook with a 65-yard touchdown run. Niners running back Christian McCaffrey suffered a PCL injury that head coach Kyle Shanahan described as potentially season-ending.
He had a great week of practice, and I could feel his urgency and stuff, and thought he came out great, looking real good, and it looked like he just got his shoestring there. He's about to break a house call, and I'm guessing he got hurt on that play. I don't know. I never got to talk to him. But, you know, hurt for him and tough for our team not having him.
Niners dropped to 5-7. Bills improve to 10-2. Elsewhere, Eagles over the Ravens 24-19, Rams 21, Saints 14, the Seahawks over the Jets 26-21, Commanders 42, Titans 19. In overtime, the Bucks over the Panthers 26-23. The Colts beat the Patriots 25-24. Vikings 23, Cardinals 22. Texans beat the Jaguars 23-20. The Steelers over the Bengals 44-38. Chargers 17, Falcons 13. College football, the Big Ten fined Michigan and Ohio State $100,000 each for their roles in the postgame brawl after Michigan's 13-10 win on Saturday at Ohio Stadium. Baseball, the Mets and free agent pitcher Frankie Montas reportedly agree on a two-year $34 million deal. NBA, James Harden, a big night, 29 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. Clippers over the Nuggets, 126-122. Anthony Davis, 33 points. LeBron James adding 27. Lakers over the Jazz, 105-104. The Cavaliers improved to 18-3, beat the Celtics 115-111. Hockey in overtime, Canucks over the Red Wings 5-4. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Jack's 49-yard line. One back, ETN. Lawrence under center this time, and he fakes the give. Boots out to the left. Lawrence wants to run. He will. 50 and slides down across the 45, and here's Aziz making a late hit. Flags come in from everywhere, and there's a lot of extra pushing and shoving as Ingram and Aziz and other Jags get into it, and Aziz hits the ground. They got to throw another flag here on the Jags.
Man, Trevor Lawrence has got a concussion. He is out. Yeah, he took a bad hit. And Jimmy Ward's in there. They're going to, I think people are going to leave this game.
They're still going.
Yeah, there's still a host of Liberty White and Teal tangled up in front of the Jaguar bench. Two different groups pushing, shoving. There's a player down maybe. Or are they just trying to unpile near the 45-yard line? And then finally, and here's another flag. We got laundry everywhere.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Perspective of Mark Vandermeer and Texans Radio, a hit felt around the NFL, to be sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The game between the Texans and the Jaguars in Jacksonville, only 9 points at halftime. We're talking a handful of field goals. Really, the first half was marked and marred by a late second quarter hit on Trevor Lawrence that delivered a concussion. If you believe what the doctors say about the fencing position, which is what they call it, we saw it with Tua a couple years ago, and actually earlier this year, hand up in the air, kind of fist clenched, and Trevor not controlling those muscles, an automatic reaction to what's happening in his brain after this hit. Well, he was knocked out and had a concussion, and instantly, after this hit that was delivered by Azeez Al-Shaire, who ended up getting ejected, a melee breaks out as the Jaguars go after Azeez, who throws his hands up in the air like he didn't do anything wrong once the flag comes in. And it was an egregious hit. I understand that football is fast. It's violent. It's a bang-bang type of a game. But Trevor Lawrence is giving himself up, number one. Number two, Azeez goes down to his level as he's giving himself up and uses a forearm. We're not talking about helmet-to-helmet flying in, which probably would have been just as bad. He comes in with a forearm that he delivers to the head and the neck of Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor's head smacks back on the turf. The whole thing, it looked brutal. You could feel it yourself, and then seeing the aftermath and what physical reaction Trevor had, even as he seemingly gets knocked out cold and his body is kind of convulsing and tensing up. It was scary. And we now know what to look for, I think, more in the wake of those Tua Tagovailoa concussions. This one deserved an ejection, and Al-Shaire was promptly kicked out, though not before skirmishing with Jaguars on the sidelines. Even his own coach telling him to get off the field, get to the sidelines, get out of here, and trying to break things up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll hear from the coaches, the Jags locker room as well. I mean, this was really a hit that everybody was talking about once the game was done.
It's a play that nobody wants to see in our league, obviously. Because you see what happens, you know, after the fact, and it just escalates. And I've got a lot of respect for Coach Ryan's. And I mean, I know he doesn't coach his team that way. We don't coach our team that way.
Unfortunate with the hit, with Azeez. That's not what we're coaching. It's just want to be smart in everything we do and not hurt the team, get a penalty there. We just have to be smarter when the quarterback is going down. Just an unfortunate play, not representative of who Azeez is. Like, Azeez is a smart player.
D'Amico Ryans and Doug Peterson, far more tempered postgame about this hit that took out Trevor Lawrence, who did not go to the hospital, by the way. He was on social later, thanking people for their concern, saying he was feeling much better. But yeah, they had to cart him off the field. He would have been unable to walk on his own, would have been very unsteady. And so he ends up leaving the game. Mac Jones comes in, actually played pretty well for the Jaguars. But this was one in which you had guys from Jacksonville getting flagged and getting kicked out, and they were still very angry after this game, including Evan Engram, who spoke for his locker room.
This is a dirty hit. I think obviously those hits are always in question. Trev was going down, and I saw it out of my peripheral. I got a pretty clear view of it, and in that moment, it just didn't feel like a clean hit, so I just go stick up for my quarterback.
What was your immediate reaction? Like, inside, you felt what?
I mean, I saw him sliding, and then I saw the hit, and then it just took over. I just knew it was wrong. It was just a dirty play, and you stick up for your guys. It's just how it goes.
You saw it. I mean, that's our brother, and we got guys that, like, we ride out for each other. It's not a team that's
we're not going to splinter off, and you saw it. I mean, Jerrion got ejected, and he's a rookie out there throwing punches, so you love to see that, honestly. Hate it for his wallet, but that's the type of team we got.
You're talking about a bunch of guys who came to Trevor Lawrence's defense, and guys who even came off the bench ended up getting ejected. And this brawl is taking place right near where Trevor is laying on the field. And, you know, I don't believe that he was out cold for very long because he was moving around. You could see him. But just the scary nature of that playing out on national TV. He did ride sitting up in the cart, so that's good news. He didn't have to have a neck brace or a full board, a backboard. But the team did rule him out, and now he is in concussion protocol. So from that point, Mac Jones has to finish the drive, and he actually leads that drive, and then also the first of the third quarter, each one of those for field goals. And so the game ends up tied at six. But Houston comes out of the halftime locker room roaring with three straight scoring drives, including Joe Mixon, who goes for a 30-yard run and then finishes off the drive with a 7-yard touchdown run. That's when the Texans took the lead for good. CJ finds Dalton Schultz for an early fourth quarter touchdown, and Houston is able to win for the second time in just 5 weeks. And this is a 2-game lead now for the Texans in the AFC South as they head into their bye week.
Big win for us now. We need a break. It's been a long time. Our guys been going for, I don't know, is this 13 weeks straight now? It's been a long time, and our guys, I think we felt that towards the end of the game. Our guys are gassed, and we need our bye week is coming up at the perfect time for us.
Prayers to Trevor, you know, and I really hope and pray he's okay, and, you know, prayers to his family as well. But, yeah, I'm still rocking with his ear. I don't think that was his intent, and, you know, I pray that Trevor is okay, and, you know, his family is right there with him.
Kind words from C.J. Stroud, who ends up with about 250 and that touchdown pass to Schultz. Really huge win for them. And Mac Jones played well. He had a couple of fourth quarter touchdowns, but the Jaguars were in too much of a hole by then. They fall to 2-10 while the Texans can breathe easy going into their bye week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. We're going to get to more from the AFC South, including the Colts, who are still hanging around. And what a bold move by Shane Steichen at the end of their game against the New England Patriots, and also Steelers and Ravens coming up in the next 30 minutes. Steelers and Ravens. As I'm thinking about it, that's wrong. It's Steelers and Bengals. Eagles and Ravens playing this week. Those AFC North games, I'm telling you what, Russell Wilson is game. So we'll talk about his season high and the confidence that Mike Tomlin put in him. But first, Brandon is listening in Chicago. Brandon, welcome to After Hours.
Happy holidays. I hope I'm using an appropriate time here. I have a question about Aaron Rodgers, but your thoughts of his possible post-career opportunities. Do you think he'd be welcome in a booth doing a color commentary?
Well, I think if there were a network out there that could sit down with him and say, hey, we're interested, but we need you to kind of stick between the lines a little bit, color between the lines, if you will. I don't know, though, if it'd be something Aaron's interested in, because he, A, doesn't need the money. B, I don't think he wants to be stuck to his schedule as much after he's talked about, you know, being able to walk away and enjoy his life and blah, blah, blah. And he's had such a acrimonious relationship with media that I don't know. I'm not sure. Although so did Bill Belichick, and look at him now on TV and radio. So maybe it is possible. I don't know. He's a bit of a wild card, and I'm not sure if he'd want to play by the rules, if you know what I mean, in broadcasting.
So I also have a domestic issue. If there's time, I've got a little, a Shih Tzu who's very timid. She runs for cover over muffled gas passing, and on the radio when the drop dead jingle comes on, her eyes cross and she goes into ballistic oh no you didn't mode, and she will attack every corner of the apartment, and like she's a different person
over the what jingle?
Drop the phone T-Mobile.
Oh. Nice. Oh, you better make sure that she's got headphones on or earmuffs or that you're not playing that music real loud. Brandon, good thing that she has you so you can take care of her. I appreciate your phone call. We're 2 hours down. By the way, it is Aaron Rodgers' birthday on Monday, and I wonder, is it a happy birthday for Aaron Rodgers? Coming up, we're going to get to the L.A. teams, Chargers and Rams, both needing wins on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.